I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Today, I'm joined by a top goalkeeper, current international goalkeeper, Watford number one. Please welcome Daniel Backman.
A great journey so far, Watford, and obviously I've got 5 years left on my contract, so
it's not a bad place to be, is it? You've got a little backstory of Wrexham. It was one of your first loan moves, actually, wasn't it?
It was my first loan move, yeah. Making mistakes is part of being a goalkeeper. We went in at half time, thought, what's going on here, lads? We're absolutely battering Arsenal, and it was a full Arsenal team as well. Bushido, oh my god, how do I know? Oh my god, I am so embarrassed. Oh, 10 times worse than that. A lot worse than that. I missed the next game because of it.
Oh, did you get sent off?
I did.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to watch this now.
Monaco, of course, my father-in-law. My phone rings, and it's my old agent, who I've not spoken to for 8 months since we've had
the breakup.
Since the breakup. Because they had Aurelio Gomez in front of me, and then Fozzy. You know, doesn't get really much harder, you know, obviously two absolute legends of the game. The squad for the Euros was not my first caller, but the first one in years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I must have a chance here to play.
What a save!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I'm joined by a top goalkeeper, current international goalkeeper, Watford number one. Please welcome Daniel Backman.
Hello, everyone.
How you doing,
thanks,
mate?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming in. It's been a long time trying to get you in. I'm buzzing your ear now.
Yeah, we spoke about it a few times and had to cancel a couple times as well. But yeah, I'm finally here and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, obviously both of our friends in common, Fozzy, sorted us out a little bit. He's put me in contact with you and that. We were just talking off air about Fozzy, changed the game a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, we just spoke about it off air and, you know, he's found a great niche there with what he started and obviously very successful with it. And you know, he's got the personality as well for it, doesn't he? You know, he's very outgoing and you know, he loves talking and he loves the sound of his own voice.
We can both say that.
Yeah, he does. But no, he's done very well for himself with that. And you know, obviously people love watching it as well.
Yeah, how are you getting on anyway? Obviously Watford are mid-table at the moment, but personally yourself, you're playing really well, and obviously you've had a couple of clean sheets in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we've started incredible, really, with the first game, obviously 4-0 up at half-time, first game of the season, you can't ask for much more, really.
Of course, yeah.
But then it kind of, you know, started a little bit, and, you know, had 10 games of, you know, back quite a bad run, and obviously lost quite a few, too many. But, you know, we're unbeaten in six now, 1-3 of the last six, 4 clean sheets in the last six. So it's starting to come together. It's obviously been a big change in the summer with, you know, with the manager, and, you know, a lot of players have left, new players have come in. Very young team, and certainly a massive change of, you know, the style and how we play, for me especially.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting better by the game, and you know, so it's a long way to go.
You seem really happy at Watford, especially obviously, like, you're the captain, and like I said, which is a huge honour. You're still very young to get that sort of accomplishment under your belt. But do you feel like it's because you've seen all the, like, over the last few years, a lot of changes, and you're kind of like the stalwart that's been there through all of the different ups and downs?
Yeah, I've been there for 6.5 years, so it is a long time. And obviously it's a great honour to be, you know, club captain now, and I'm really happy about it. Like you say, you know, you probably see I'm happy at Watford. I enjoy my football, I enjoy training, and yeah, things have changed a lot in the last, especially I'd say in the last 12 to 15 months kind of thing. It's things have changed a lot to the positive, without a doubt. But yeah, it's you know, it's been a great journey so far at Watford, and obviously I've got 5 years left on my contract, so
it's not a bad place to be, is it?
Looks like I'll be there for, you know, for a long time, and you know, it gets me to over 10 years. So no, I'm looking forward to the future, and obviously for now to have a successful season and hopefully get back to the Premier League.
Like you said about, I wanted to mention your 5-year contract. It's very rare in football now. But it's also a huge pat on the back that when you do get something like that, that you know that you're going to be at that club, settled, family will be happy. And then you're only going to get more out of you. You'll get your best and most enjoyable playing years in this spell, because you're not worried about background noise or distractions or when's your next contract.
Yeah, I mean, you've just mentioned the family, you know, safety, and not just the safety, but just the, you know, the settlement of, you know, the family being at home and knowing we don't have to move around. Obviously, my kids are both in school. My daughter's just started in reception, my son's in year one, so it's, you know, it's nice for them as well, and my wife obviously, to, you know, to know this is where we're going to be for the next few years, and that then reflects on me. You know, if they're happy, that just makes my life a lot easier, and I can just fully concentrate on football. Yeah. And, you know, just give my best every day.
No, exactly that, right? A lot of my fans, like I said to you before, Wrexham fans as well, but like, you've got a little backstory of Wrexham. It was one of your first loan moves, actually, wasn't it?
It was my first loan move, yeah. In 2014 was the first time I went on loan, obviously, to Wrexham. And I really enjoyed my time there. It was a little bit injury-ridden, the season. I think I've only played about 22 games in the end. But no, it was a great experience for me. First time in men's football. You know, I couldn't really have picked a better club, you know, fans-wise, and obviously the, you know, the coaching staff at the time as well. And all the players, it just felt really, you know, felt a really good environment for me to, you know, have my first steps in men's football.
Yeah, obviously the club's changed massively since then. Have you got any memories from then that you still think that, like, are like community sort of stuff, or even the players, like the way that the club brings itself together as a community?
Yeah, like I said, it just felt really homely from, you know, from the moment I got there. You know, there was a lot of nerves, you know, for me going in there. Yeah. And I was 19, 20 years old at the time. And it's uncomfortable sometimes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be a bit uncomfortable, especially when you're that young. Yeah. And for me, it was the first time in men's football, but everyone was so welcoming. You know, the fan base, obviously, I met a lot of fans. You meet them outside the stadium. And thinking back now, it just felt really easy to just concentrate on football, not having, you know, anything to worry about. You know, just felt the support really from the whole club.
Let's carry on the loan moves and the loan system. Obviously, it's played a huge part in your early career. I was the same, moving around from club to club when you're not getting game time at your home club, basically. It's so valuable early doors to go out and learn the game a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, nothing teaches you as much as playing does, and regardless of the level, you know, speak to some of our young goalies now. I'm a bit more experienced now, so I speak to, you know, the younger lads as well, and I tell them, you know, when some of them say, I don't want to go, Conference South. And I said to them, you got to do it because it doesn't matter. You know, the standard's a lot better than you probably think it is.
Yes.
Firstly that. And secondly, there's a massive difference in playing men's football in general, regardless of the level, than it is under 23s football. Yeah. Firstly, just it means something. You know, every point is important.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's because it's financially, because they've got a win bonus and they've got looked after their families, whatever it is, but it's different. So it's such a big part. And I think especially for a goalkeeper, you know, same for outfield players, but I think goalkeepers, it's even more important to have that under your belt as soon as you can and play as many games as you can, regardless of the level.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. See, goalkeepers, like winning and losing is so vital for your education. So the quicker that you can learn that along your way, the better. Obviously, winning and losing isn't just about 3 points on a Saturday. It's about making yourself better. But you're never going to do that unless you test yourself. And in the youth team environments where it's like, it's all about development and just making sure you're getting better. Goalkeepers need to be hungry to keep clean sheets and keep the ball out of the net.
Exactly.
You don't learn that until you start playing.
You don't. And also, I think a big part of going on loan is what, well, certainly for me, it was what I've learned a lot of is, you know, making mistakes. Yes. Making mistakes is part of being a goalkeeper. Yeah. We all make mistakes. The best goalkeepers in the world make a lot of mistakes. It's just part of the game. Without mistakes, there wouldn't be goals. And that's just part of it. And I think in the under 23 system or under 18s, whatever it is, if you make a mistake there, nothing happens.
Yes, nothing.
Whereas if, regardless of the level, like I said before, in men's football, you make a mistake, you've got to learn how to deal with it because you've got your teammates that you're letting down. Whereas in the academy, that doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
And there it does. And that's what I learned a lot of. That just to, you, ball's gone in the net. I've f***ed up, excuse my language.
Yeah, no.
And it's done. You can't change it. So you've got to look forward and get on with it. And that's a big part of what I learned, certainly, especially my first couple of loan moves, just to get rid of the mistakes, you know, or not get rid of them, but just not let them affect your, you know, the performance, the rest of the game and the next game.
Yeah.
That's certainly one of the biggest parts for me that I've learned going alone.
A couple of your loan moves up in Scotland and that, that's a tough learning place. I did that as well. I had a couple of moves up there, and when you make a mistake and the fans let you know, you hear every word they're saying and what it means to them and how it should feel for you. Like, I think you were Kilmarnock and Ross County.
Yeah.
And like, they're tough places to play.
Yeah, I mean, the Ross County one was a bit of a tricky one. I went there in the summer, about a week before the season started. I went up there and obviously I went on loan. That was straight after my loan at Wrexham. Went up there, obviously, you know, to play.
Yeah.
And I didn't play. And, you know, it was tough because obviously I was still only 20, I think 20, maybe just turned 21. And it's not exactly the easiest place to live because it's so far away from everything. I think it's about 4 or 5 hours north of Glasgow.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Dingwall.
Dingwall, exactly. So I lived in Inverness, the time I was there. I was only there for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Because, I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot from it again. You know, it wasn't the most positive loan, but I've learned things from it. Do you know what I mean? And it's that's what it's about, you know. That one didn't work out.
Yep.
And I really struggled mentally, you know, being there on my own.
It's so far away from home and what you're accustomed to. But like you said,
yeah,
if you've gone up there to play and you're not in the team straight away, it's hard to build that relationship in the dressing room with people.
Exactly.
And you're also questioning, why am I even here?
Yeah.
I should be playing. I was told I was playing. Or
yeah, and it's not, I mean, not playing is part of the development, you know, especially in my career. I've not played a lot, if that makes sense. I've not played a lot, you know, especially when I was younger. So, you know, I can deal with the not playing, but obviously then everything together, and especially like you said, the loan is there to play. And it didn't work out. I didn't play, but then everything around it just made it so much more difficult with being so far from everything, not knowing anyone.
And
I kind of just sheltered myself in my apartment, you know, went to training and went straight back home, and I wasn't happy at all. I was really struggling. So obviously, you know, made the decision with the club, with Stoke at the time together, that I come back, and I ended up going to Bury, I think, 4 weeks after that.
Yep.
So, yeah, it worked out all right in the end.
Yeah. But again, just on the loan system then, I just wanted to finish off, but like, it's so important that people go out and learn the game at different levels. And like we're saying about winning and losing, sometimes it doesn't matter if you have to go out of your comfort zone is the biggest thing, especially for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's it, just to learn little things. You know, it might not even be anything technical. It's a lot, goalkeeping especially, it's very mental. You know, it's you need to be very strong mentally to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, the little things like making a mistake and dealing with it in front of a crowd for the first time, in front of for a team that, you know, where it means something to win, where you have to win and you have to do well, and you need to do a job for your teammates. So it's I think it's great, and it's not very common from where I'm from. Obviously, I'm Austrian, so we don't really have that system there. Yeah. Same in Germany, it's not very common. Yeah. In England, it's very common, and I think it's great.
Yeah, excellent. Right, I've got a couple of quick fire questions here, just daft goalie ones. Right, catch or parry?
Catch.
Favorite kit color?
Purple.
Purple, yeah. I think that's the first time I've had purple. Yeah, normally like people purple. Say green or black.
Yeah, I like purple.
Yeah, purple, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Right, play out from the back or kick it long?
Of course, I say play out from the back now, the way we play. Yeah. But yeah, I do actually really enjoy it, so I'd say play out from the back.
Right, on that then, right, obviously you've been asked to do a different role this year. You're typically used to playing forward a lot and you're being progressive. And to change the way that you play now, how's that been? Has it been tough?
It's been a tough pre-season, just because, you know, I've had a lot of extra hours at the training ground, and you know, just had to work on it just for myself as well, you know, just to get more comfortable with it. And then
it's confidence as well.
Yeah, that's the thing is
goalkeepers have got the ability to do it, but it's also a confidence and bravery to execute
exactly
it.
That and one thing as well that I've found out, especially over the first few games in the season, because in pre-season it's slightly different. You know, if you remember, we played Arsenal in pre-season. I think it was our third pre-season game when we've just changed our style. And honestly, we went in at halftime, thought, what's going on here, lads? We're absolutely battering Arsenal. And it was a full Arsenal team as well. And they couldn't deal with how we played, because, you know, I almost played like a third centre-back in between the two centre-backs. They couldn't deal with it. And obviously there was always a spare man. And, you know, I found passes that I've never seen in my life before. So like, what's happening here? But then obviously, as the season starts, it becomes a bit more difficult because people watch our games and it becomes a bit more difficult. But what I found, like you say, we can all do it. We can all pass a ball. That's not, obviously you've got people like Ederson and Ter Stegen, and of course they have slightly more ability to see passes or play passes or whatever, but we can all play the passes that we're asked to play. I think for me, the biggest thing was the decision making, to not force the passes and to not think, right, this is how we're going to play. And so I always have to find the number eight. I always have to, you know, drill it low into the striker.
Yeah.
Just to do the simple things, and when the amazing pass is on, you know, then you can do it, but just when you're 100% sure. And that's what I found difficult the first few games. And it worked well most times, but then there's times where I play a ball and it gets cut out and I'm thinking, I shouldn't have played that.
Yep.
But it's just the decision making, not the quality.
No.
And that's what's the hardest part about it, I thought.
Yeah, obviously we both played for different managers that changed the way that you play. Like obviously in Scotland, I was always told kick it as far away from your own goal as you can, because they can't score from there. But like I came through an academy where we played football. I've played for teams that like to play football. Yeah. And so like in training, I feel like I'm like one of the best outfielders, because I'll just step into midfield and start spraying passes.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a game, unless your manager's telling you you're 100%, like, it's his fault if you make a mistake. It's hard to do it with as much conviction.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously, you look at, like we're saying, Arsenal then, but like the Raya and Ramsdale situation. It's a difficult one, because unless the manager's telling you to, you have to do it that way. Mm. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Yes. And I don't think some of the audience and the public will know how difficult having that confidence to execute every pass is. But like you said, you're going to get some wrong.
Exactly. And to be fair to our new manager now, he's obviously been here for a few months now, but he's really supportive when it comes to that. You know, he knows this is how we're trying to play, and mistakes are going to happen. Like I said before, mistakes are part of the game.
Yeah.
And mistakes are going to happen. Obviously, we have to limit them, especially at the back. You know, we can't afford to make too many mistakes. And that just comes down to decision-making again. But I know in my situation now, obviously I've worked on it for, you know, quite a lot over the last 4 months or so.
Yeah.
And I know I've got the backing from the manager, which is obviously nice, because this is what he wants us to do. If it goes wrong, well, it goes wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to have that backing, like you say.
Yeah, and obviously we've always got the get out of jail free card and just to kick it as long as we can. So it is always, it's our decision at the end of the day. And if we do make a mistake, it's on us. But that's what makes goalies specials, is we're the first ones to put our hand up and go, oh, I got that one wrong.
Yeah.
Where an outfielder, they can misplace a pass, or they can kick a ball out of play, and then they'll just get back into shape and act like nothing's ever happened.
Yeah.
But a goalkeeper, everyone's going, why is he trying that? You get a different perspective of like, we kick a ball out of play, and it's like, it's got the whole pitch to aim for.
Yeah.
But it's the same, an outfielder has still got 10 other people to pass to, and they can still kick it out of play, but it's just perspective on what the audience thinks of a goalie.
Yeah, we're just a bit special, aren't we? It's just a special position.
We are special, mate. I don't like people calling us weird or crazy. We're special.
Special,
mate.
That's it. That's
we're a unique breed. Right, just a couple of other quick fires. Right, your best stadium you've ever played at?
Stadium. I'm not talking about atmosphere, just the stadium has to be the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the new one.
Yeah. Some venue.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's just
incredible. Cool. And Wembley, obviously, Wembley's up there.
Yeah. Right, your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Buffon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gianluigi Buffon. Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Just I loved watching him growing up. Oh, I loved watching him growing up.
Some goalies as well. Yeah. But just the way his mannerisms,
just
and his
everything
composure.
About him, you know, is you know the way he handles with mistakes is like nothing's happened. You know, it's just it's just great to watch.
Yeah, yeah,
great guy.
Yeah, I've got who's the best goalkeeper in the world right now?
Well, before his injury, I would have said Courtois, but obviously he's done his ACL. So right now,
tough in the world. Well, right
it's
now,
it's really tough right now because I think Courtois was quite obvious the best. I think over the last season or so
because of the Champions League.
Exactly, yeah. Just the way he just. Always as class, doesn't he?
Does,
that is a tough one. I think it's a really. I don't think there's anyone that really stands out.
There's an elite group.
Yeah, there is, but I don't think there's one where you can say obviously Ter Stegen's got to be up there.
Yeah. The two Brazilians are up there.
I like that Mike Maignan.
Yeah.
AC Milan. I like him.
Good goalie.
One I'll mention who might not even be in that group, but I think Vicario from Tottenham.
Yeah,
I think he's surprised a lot of people.
He's having a great season.
He's been the best goalie so far in the Premier League, without a doubt, this season. He's been different class, so he's got to be up there right now, surely.
Yeah, really, yeah. No, it's a good, great shout. I like that. Right, and then last one, right? It's the last minute of a game. You can either save a penalty to guarantee a win, or you can go up, it's a draw, and you score the winner. Which one are you doing?
Save the penalty for the win and the clean sheet.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah, have you scored before though?
I haven't, but I'm never going forward again either. I don't know if you saw what happened last season when I went forward.
No, I've not seen it.
Okay, let's not talk
about that. Let's talk about that. That sounds a good story, this one. Have you gone up and they've broken scored?
Oh, 10 times worse than that. A lot worse than that. I missed the next game because of it.
Oh, did you get sent off?
I did.
Oh no, I'm going to have to watch this now.
Nah, it's a great watch as well.
Is it?
If you're not me, it's a great watch. Yeah, my God, it was.
Have you tried to get back in and made a late?
Oh, no, a lot worse than that.
What
so
is it? What's happened here?
We're 1-0 up with about 20 minutes to go at home to Huddersfield. They score 1-1, 2-1, 3-1 within 8 minutes. And they're bottom of the table as well. Obviously, we're still trying to get, you know, go to the Premier League. It's about 10 games left to go in the season. Last season, that was. And so then 91st minute, Assumba Longa scores 3-2.
Yeah.
So we've got a chance to at least get a point. 94th minute, we win a foul. You know, just on the side somewhere, you know, free kick to get whipped in. I obviously go forward. One of the players goes down, he's injured. I'm like, obviously, I'm angry inside, you know. Trying to pull him up, trying to help him up. He's like throwing himself on the ground and all of a sudden I said, get up, you So anyway, the referee like comes up to me, like kind of shoves me away and says, I'll leave him alone. I said, he's got nothing wrong with him. He just sat down and whatever. So the referee booked me. Whatever. So I went in the box. Ball comes in, gets cleared. Gets headed back in towards the goal, but just like maybe 4 or 5 yards left of the post, like looking at the goal, left of the post. And I'm running towards it. I'm thinking, I'm looking across and I can see two of our players in the middle unmarked. I'm thinking, oh, if I get that ball across, we score.
Yeah.
So the ball's bouncing and I'm trying to do like a kung fu kick or whatever. Try to get the ball across, defender goes and heads it.
Oh, no.
I didn't touch him, but obviously
high foot.
It was a really high foot. And it didn't look great. You know, it really looked like a kung fu kick, you know, Daniel San. That's literally what it looked like. And he obviously went on the floor, held his face. I got sent off, got another booking and got 2 bookings within 30 seconds, missed the next game. So I'm staying in my goal from
now. Yeah, I don't blame you. Save a penalty then.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely. I'm not going forward again. But it doesn't look great when you watch it.
Oh, mate, I need to go and watch that tonight on my own. That's class. Right, I want to go back to the start then, right? Obviously, becoming a goalkeeper. Do you have what's your earliest memory?
Earliest memories. My first memory. I remember I always wanted to be in goal. I was a striker. Obviously, most people start off as as an attacker or outfielder anyway. And I played for my local club, and my dad was the coach. Not just my dad. Obviously, one year group was my dad and other coaches as well. And I was always. You know, I was doing all right. I scored a lot of goals, obviously, in the local games and stuff, you know, like under 8s, under 9s, under 10s, scored a lot of goals. And then every now and then I could go in goal, second half or something, you know, well, for 10 minutes, they put me in goal. And I just always loved it. And, you know, I had a bit of a feel for it, I must have. And then I actually went to an academy in Austria, but as a striker when I was 10. Signed for an academy. And about 2 months in, we went on a tournament, like a two-day tournament. Obviously, only one goalie at this age group. First day, I scored about six goals in, you know, five, six games, whatever.
Making it look easy.
Did okay, you know, and go back to the hotel at night and we're playing tag. And the goalkeeper was the tagger. And, you know, playing and he's chasing one of the other kids, and the kid that's being chased slams the door and he's obviously tagging behind him and his toe got caught in the door.
Oh.
So I didn't have a goalie for the next day. I obviously volunteered to go in goal.
Yeah.
Loved it and obviously did well. And then they brought like a goalie coach in to, you know, work with me a little bit and have a look kind of thing and see if he thinks I might be all right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he said, yeah, he's, you know, he might have a bit, you know, it's obviously only 10, 11. So
too early to tell.
But he looks okay. You know, he doesn't look out of place. Yep. Oh, he's got good hand-eye coordination. So, you know, leave him in goal. So, yeah, since then I've been in goal.
That's crazy, that. And so it's a by-accident game of tag.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I always wanted to be in goal, but if that doesn't happen...
Do you think
probably
you would have tried to become a goalkeeper?
I don't think
he
probably would have come to that because I was already in an academy.
Yes.
So, you know, I was already...
Halfway
at the
down
highest
the system,
level. Well, yeah, you know, at the highest level, obviously, in Austria and... you know, I was doing okay as well. I was, you know, scoring goals and I did okay. And then that's obviously happened. So someone had to go and go. I volunteered and I just thought, I don't want to get out anymore. I just want to stay in there. And yeah, it's been ever since.
And then obviously you'd have went into a lot of coaching. You moved to a few academies as well, a lot in Austria, didn't you? Did you find that you enjoyed the challenge of moving from academy to academy, or was you quite settled in one place and you thought, and enjoyed one coach?
So the moving around, so I signed for a club called Admira Mödling when I was 10. That's my first academy, and obviously that's when I became a goalkeeper. And then the club went, I'm not sure the word in English is insolvent, is that the right word? Like they kind of lost everything and had to, you know, had no money. So they, you know, stopped, you know, I didn't have a goalie coach there anymore. So I went to Rapid Vienna, mainly for that reason, not because I wanted to leave the club, but because I needed coaching and I didn't get that there. So I went to Rapid Vienna, but as soon as the club were back up and running at Mira, I just wanted to go back because I just, you know, I really liked the club and my friends and everything. And it was just, it just felt better. So I went back there after 6 months. So that's obviously the one switch. And then the other one was Sturm Graz when I was 15. 15. Yeah, 15. I think it was 15, 2009. That was because they kind of offered me, it's very unusual, like in Austria, you know, when you sign for an academy, you don't get a contract. You know, it's not like, you know, that you get paid 80 quid a week, whatever, like it is in most academies in England, like a scholarship. That doesn't exist in Austria. And then they offered me like a young professional contract, if you want, at Sturm Graz. And they paid me, not a lot, but, you know, they paid me. And I lived in like a boarding school. And I trained with the first team quite regularly at 15, which was obviously quite cool. So
really
that's why I did it.
Then,
That's why I did it. And I really struggled with, you know, being away from home, boarding school. So I went to Austria Vienna, who wanted to sign me at the same time as Sturm Graz did, but I decided to go to Sturm Graz and then ended up going to Austria Vienna. And then obviously from there to Stoke. That's why there's so many clubs.
Yeah, no, but obviously like to fast track that quickly, and obviously there's a story behind that people don't know until you tell it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing that, how quickly teams were willing to fast track you and put you on a young professional contract and get you trained with the first team.
Yeah.
15, 16 years old, it doesn't happen a lot. Any academy, any clubs you've been at now, how many times do you have a 15, 16 year old goalkeeper that joins in? So
not very often,
Exactly. So obviously in Austria, where chances are limited, you've got to be ready to take the next opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. I think... obviously I came to England quite young. I came on my 17th birthday, signed for Stoke, so I left quite early. But I do feel like, you know, if you look over the history, and the Austrian league is getting a lot better for sure, you know, obviously especially with Red Bull Salzburg and Sturm Graz are doing really well now, so the league is getting better. But in the goalkeeping position, you don't really see any Austrian goalkeepers that play in the Austrian league make a good move.
Yep.
For whatever reason that might be. So I'm glad I got away early, you know, and got my chance, obviously, to play in England. Whereas I think if I would have stayed there and maybe gone down the route of playing in the Austrian Bundesliga for a few years, it probably would have been tough to certainly come to England.
Yes. Chances would have become a lot more limited.
Well, yeah, and if I look at other goalies, you know, around obviously the national team and stuff, and you know, most of them play in Austria, and they obviously, you know, they're in the international setup, but they can't get a move.
Yeah,
and you know, they're all top goalies as well. You know what I mean? But obviously they play in Austria, and I think that's probably why.
Do you reckon it's just typecast then that?
Yeah, I think obviously, I think what doesn't help the Austrian league is that there's not a lot of people watching. And most, obviously, you've got Rapid Vienna, you've got Red Bull Salzburg, who do okay, especially in the Champions League. They get good crowds.
Yes.
And then you've got LASK and Sturm Graz, maybe sometimes. But the rest, you get 3,000-4,000 people. So it's obviously not very well watched. And it looks like it puts people off, especially the goalkeeping position, because you get some great players leaving Austria. Yeah. I mean, Mane, Keita, Haaland, you know, all these players obviously play for Salzburg.
Yeah.
There, Salzburg might be an exception, but it is difficult to get away from Austria once you're in the Austrian Bundesliga, certainly as a goalkeeper, that's for sure.
Obviously, you said then you moved to Stoke at such a young age. You've already said that you were homesick in one of your youth moves. This must be a whole different kettle of fish, no?
So I came over the day before the signing. Obviously my mum came with me because I wasn't 18, my agent. So we arrived in, you know, London, in Manchester, or Birmingham actually. We flew to Birmingham, got to Stoke about, I don't know, 4 in the afternoon on the Wednesday, I think it was. And, you know, we had a little stroll around town, Hanley, it's called, nice little Hanley town in Stoke. And then went back to the hotel, had some dinner, and I must have been really quiet. So go back to the room and my mum says to me, Are you all right? And I said, I can't do it. I need to go home. I honestly, I can't do it. And obviously, as a mum, she was like, okay, of course, whatever you want to do.
She was packing your bag. She couldn't wait for you to say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was awkward the next morning because I did go home.
Oh, you did?
So, woke up the next morning. So, she's like, right, I'll speak to Max, who was my agent at the time, and we'll sort it out. So, I woke up the next morning, obviously, butterflies, you know, nervous of how this is going to go. So, told him. He wasn't happy, of course not. Went to the training ground. Everyone's ready, you know, for the academy signings and stuff. And it's quite a big thing, you know, especially for me. I'm coming from Austria.
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting for me to welcome me and stuff. And I'm going there to tell them, I'm not coming. I'm going home. So we did tell them that, and I did go home.
You must have been so nervous at that age to tell these people that have got a lot of faith in you.
It was not nice. So obviously flew home. And then over the next 5 days, Andy Quay, who obviously was my goalie coach at Stoke, the academy goalie coach, Daniel Alcock, who's first team goalie coach at Forest now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So there's one or two goalie coaches. And then, you know, they rang my dad a couple of times and my agent and spoke to me as well and said, listen, we'll make sure Dan's all right. He can go home whenever he wants. You know, you can come over whenever you, or as in my parents can come over when everyone. So went, right, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So flew back the week after I signed. And the first 2 months, I'm telling you, it was hard. Oh, my God, the homesickness. There's a lot of tears.
Was you in Diggs?
I was in Diggs, I lived with a lovely family for 1 year. And what helped a lot, to be fair, was I was with a guy from Switzerland who signed at the same time. Spoke German as well.
Oh, excellent.
Helped a lot. So, but yeah, it was tough. There's a lot of tears.
He was your therapist.
Oh, my God. But he was in the same situation, wasn't he? So it was hard for him as well. Especially on days off, all your lads go home and we're not, you know. Yeah. We're just, we don't have any family around. So it was tough. Always said, you know, it's a 2-year contract. If you know, after that, just come home. And I've been here 12 and a half years now. I'll probably never go back. So, you know, my kids are obviously born in England. My wife's English, so everything's here now.
See, like you talk about that 2 years being really difficult, but also setting yourself that target. See, was there a point along that journey or along those 2 years you went, actually, I tell you what, then I can make a go of this here. But did that coincide with something at football that happened?
Well, I got injured, so I started really well. I was playing really, obviously for my age, I was playing in the under 18s, and back then there wasn't the under 21s or under 23s yet.
No, they weren't,
It was the reserves, so it was 18s and reserves, which I thought was better. If you ask me to compare them, I think it's better.
Yeah.
Because every Tuesday you had a reserves game, mix of first team academy.
I thought it was great. The first team players that didn't play on the weekend would all play in it, and then you'd get like the cream of the crop from the under 18s join you, and it was... Yeah.
I thought it was a really good game. Yeah, and obviously for us young players, it was brilliant. You know, you play with first team players against some first team players. So obviously played it pretty much every Saturday, Tuesday. and started really well and obviously started to enjoy myself, and it got easier as the months went on. And then in November, I had a back injury. I had like a stress fracture. I got infected and I was out for nearly a year. I ended up with a cast from just below my chest down to my knee, and it was bad. So obviously I missed nearly my full first season. I played for 3 months and then didn't play again until the next pre-season. So that was really, really tough, but that made me want it even more. You know, because I went home for 2 months in that time where I couldn't do anything, went back to Austria, and that made me want it so much more. I thought, nah, this, I've had 1 year left then on my contract, and I thought,
to prove then, you've got the bit between your teeth.
You know, I'm proper going for it. I mean, I was always a hard worker and always, but I was like, nah, this is happening. I'm becoming a professional footballer.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, started to come together. Obviously the first few months coming back was tough, as it always is after injury.
Yeah.
But then started getting better, started training with the first team regular, obviously with Asmi Begovic, Thomas Sørensen at the time. You know, couldn't really ask for better people to learn off and train with, and obviously
better
Andy
humans
Quay
as well.
Exactly. Yeah, obviously great people to you know, to be with every day, to learn from on the pitch, off the pitch. He was brilliant. Andy Quay, top guy as well. Obviously, you know, I've got him a lot to thank for as well.
Yeah.
Firstly, just being in the country, because you know he stayed persistent, and but yeah.
With Asmi being Bosnian and Sørensen being
Danish.
Obviously, they would have taken a real liking to you being Austrian. Did you find that they looked after you a bit more than others?
Yeah, especially, obviously, Tommy was very, because he must have been about 36, 37, 38 even when I started coming up. So he genuinely could have been my dad.
Oh.
So he could have been age-wise. So he was obviously, you know, very helpful. So was Asmir. But obviously, Asmir was more focused because he was playing. He was just becoming one of the best goalies in the Premier League. And it was obviously great to watch, you know, on a daily basis, you know, to work with people like that. And obviously Tommy as well, at time when he wasn't playing anymore, just the attitude every single day, you know, just from that you learn a lot.
Yeah.
So see, he's not playing anymore and he's achieved a lot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to do it anymore, but every single day was just spot on. And,
yeah,
you know, it was just great to train and great to see every day.
Yeah, you must have picked up a lot of your techniques that you still use now, whether it's as a person or as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Off those two, and Andy, like you said.
Yeah, I think one thing that comes to mind when you said that straight away was the decision making with catching or parrying, because Asmir was very adamant, even in training. You know, a lot of goalie coaches, a lot of goalies are like, in training, I try to catch everything. But Asmir wasn't like that. He would do everything how he would do in a game. And if there's a shot, you know, even if it's like straight at him, but it wobbles, and in training you try and catch it, in the game you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't. You know what it's like in the game. People probably think, I should have caught that.
Yeah.
But you're not catching it. Whereas he in training, he would just do exactly the same as he would do in a game.
It's a good skill to have that.
So, and it's quite hard. And even now, I'm, you know, in my head now, I'm still thinking, I've got to try and catch everything. But, you know, when you mentioned that, then that was the first thing that came to mind, that he just always made the same decisions as he would in a game, which is like you say, it's really difficult.
He said that when he came on the pod, he was the only person that's ever said parry.
Oh, really?
Of the quickfire questions, okay. Casual parry. And he said that, like that story, that he works on parrying shots because you do it in a game. And he says, it's got no relevance if you try and catch everything in training and then you, on a Saturday, parry everything. Yeah. So it's like, why have I practiced catching?
Yeah. You're right. Because in a game, there might be even balls where in training you do catch them. But in a game, you're just not taking the risk. You know, Ben at the weekend against Rotherham had the perfect example, a free kick from about 35 yards.
Yep.
It's straight down his throat. And from the outside, people go like, oh, he's got to catch that. But he doesn't, because it's wobbling, it's moving all over the place. And you can just make yourself look like a sorry. You can't win in these situations.
Yep.
And he's obviously made the right decision and just got rid of the ball. And I think he's got about 20 yards away from goal. So it's a great parry as well. He's out of the danger zone. Whereas in training, you'd probably try and catch that.
Yeah.
You know, and you just make...
But you could make an arse of it.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, though. If he tries and catch that, it probably goes wrong because it's slippy. We've obviously just got the new balls, the winter balls.
Yes.
So they're brand new, they're slippy as Then it's raining, you know, and in his situation as well, he's not played a lot in the last few years. So he's obviously made the right decision. And it just shows that, you know, it might look wrong to the outside, but it's definitely right sometimes to parry balls that look like they're catchable.
Yeah.
If that's even a word, catchable. But
it will do. No, it makes sense, though. Like you're saying, like you control the controllables, we say it, don't we, in goalkeeping, that you do the best that you can at like the basics well first.
Yeah.
And if it is that decision making where you make a nice early decision, you like parry this away, that no danger comes of it. But the ones in training, like you're saying, that wobble or you try and force a catch out of the ones that you spill, but you then learn in a game, don't catch them once. But see, like, again, it goes back to we have to make mistakes to improve. Exactly. And that's just goalkeeping.
That's it. That's it, yeah. That's exactly it.
So obviously finishing your development after the loans and that at Stoke and stuff, you had the move to Watford then. When did you get that phone call?
So it's quite a interesting story.
You've got an interesting story behind everything. I love this.
Yeah, because my career has been a little bit different, I think, because I've not played anything until, well, I've been on loan a few times, but I've
played
only
a handful
really,
of games here and there.
I've only really started playing, well, my first proper season was at Kilmarnock in 2018.
Yes.
And then for Watford in 2021. That's when I started playing, when I was 26, 27. Yeah. But yeah, so I left Stoke and obviously season finished May. And I'm out of contract. I think there was some sort of option, my side or both sides, if I can't remember. But I wanted to leave anyway because I've been there for so long and never really got a chance. Obviously been alone, been number two, number three. You know what it's like, you know, as a young goalie.
Yeah.
Never really got.
You need to make your own mark.
I just wanted to go and play. Yeah, then the season finishes, obviously, my agent, we're speaking to clubs, and I've actually still got a message on my phone, a screenshot that my agent, or guy who works for my agent, sent me, a message from a club owner, I think, or maybe a chairman, from a League One club in June 2017, that was, after I've left Stoke. It basically says that my agent kind of said, yeah, you know, about Dan Backman from Austria, you know, what do you think of him? He was like, oh yeah, Gaffer's mentioned something about a goalkeeper with cradle marks on his arse who's never played a game in his career who wants so and so, such and such amount per year. And we're talking not a lot of money in professional football.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, you know, probably low end League Two money we're talking there. Because I've obviously just left Stoke and I had no experience.
Yeah.
And that's the message that guy sent about me basically taking the piss out of me. And then a week later, I got a phone call from my old agent that I left about 8 months earlier, and it's like breaking up with a girlfriend, isn't it? It's not great. It's awkward.
It's awkward, yeah.
It's awkward. You know, you want to go different ways, you want to try something new. It didn't end well at all. Monaco, of course, my father-in-law, my phone rings, and it's my old agent who I've not spoken to for 8 months since we've had
since the breakup.
Since the breakup. So I thought, I said to my father-in-law, I remember saying to him, I said to Dave, I think I should answer, and he looked at me and went, Dan, you've got no choice, because I had nothing really. So I answered, he's like, yeah, you're right, blah, 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 obviously in German. And he goes, listen, Watford want you, do you want to do it? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, listen, I've got, you know, they're ready to go, want us to fly to Barcelona, do the deal there. And I was like, right, okay, let me ring my agent. And he's like, oh no, don't ring him. Long story cut short, he's tried to cut my agent off the deal. Didn't happen. It was all a bit of a back and forth for a couple of days. That was on a Sunday morning. Tuesday night, my agent, I get a phone call. I'm in my apartment in Manchester, get a phone call from an English number, pick up, and he goes like, oh, hi, it's Filippo Ciraldi from Watford, sporting director at the time. I was like, all right, hey, yeah. He's like, what's going on, you know, with the two agents here and there? And I was like, listen, I'm here with my agent who was in England.
Yeah.
I'm in Manchester. And he was like, yeah, I'm in London at the training ground. So my old agent obviously tried to get us to fly to Barcelona to do the deal overseas because he's not registered as an agent in England. So went there with my agent, went to the training ground. My agent went in the office. I was waiting in the canteen. He comes out, slips me a piece of paper and says to me, Dan, don't smile. And I looked at the contract and I looked at him and went, really? And I was like, I've gone from literally like somebody taking the piss out of me. You know, I think League One it was, for, you know, not a lot of money in football terms, to this that I've just seen on that table there. Just found out my wife's pregnant. So everything was, you know, a bit nerves, you know, you don't know what's going on. And then I see this and I'm like, okay, fine, done. Yeah. And that's how it come about.
Yeah.
Like from having nothing, people taking a piss out of me, to they've watched me in the under-21s qualifiers and we had the playoffs against Spain. And that team was like De La Feu, Kepa was in goal.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great Spain team and we drew 1-1 at home, 0-0 away, and I had two unbelievable games. And that's obviously their kind of market. They watch Watford, see me there, obviously believed in me.
That's unbelievable.
And the rest is history. So you need a lot of luck in football, that's for sure. And I've had that bit of luck in that, you know, those few weeks, if that makes sense. And obviously,
on that, right? Obviously, from being out of contract and literally you don't know when your next deal is, that's a horrible state of mind. And as a player, it's so difficult because you're phoning your agent, you're going, what's happening? And he's going, I haven't got any news for you. So then you're making texts yourself to your friends, you're texting old coaches, like, what should I do? And then for you to then have that flipped within a few weeks, the worst thing is like answering the question to your wife, to your father-in-law, when they're saying, so where are you going to sign for next?
And that, especially we had a baby underway, that didn't help.
Like that actual moment in every footballer's life when they're out of contract looking for a new job is one of the hardest times mentally. Mm-hmm. But you have to stay strong, stay fit, and just stay like ready for that opportunity.
Yeah. It is. I mean, luckily I've only had it that one time in my career. But it is really stressful. So like I said, I've only experienced it once. And hopefully, you know, I don't have to do it too often because it's not a nice situation, you know, regardless of who you are. The thing is, it doesn't matter how much money you've earned before. If you've not, obviously, of course, it makes it harder if you've earned less money. Because in my situation, when I was at Stoke, I was literally on peanuts.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't on anywhere near first team money, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I've never earned a lot of money, so I didn't have a lot of savings. Then our contract baby underway, and then people turning me down, and then obviously this opportunity comes, and I, you know, took it with both hands and never looked back. And but yeah, it's really, really stressful. It's really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think almost like that I probably didn't realize the extent of it either, because you just in your own world, you think something will come up.
My phone will ring.
But you, I don't think, thinking back at it now, I don't think I might have really realized the extent of the position I was in.
Mm.
Because I got out of it quite luckily, obviously, with the opportunity I got from Watford. And, you know, I think I've paid them back and, you know, obviously I've got them, you know, to thank as well for a lot of things in my career. But, football's a funny game and things change like this.
Yeah. Even at Watford then, when you signed, you still had to, you've had to bide your time at Watford for a good few years as well, it was. And you had to be patient, obviously. We talked about Fozzy and that, and you had to wait for your opportunity. Mm. But was this all for you building blocks, as in like, when I get my chance, this is how I'm going to try and cement my place?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really tough because, of course, I knew I got that chance and but I always believed in myself. I always knew I was good enough. You know, there was not one moment where I thought to myself, maybe I'm just not good enough. I never had that. And I think I'm quite lucky that I've got that mindset and that I'm maybe, you know, that I just trust in myself and I believe in myself. Yeah. It's not arrogance at all. I don't think I wouldn't say about myself I'm an arrogant person, but I just always believed in myself. I always knew I will get my chance at some point and then I'll have to take it. But it was really, really tough. Obviously, I had Aurelio Gomez in front of me. And then Fozzy, you know, doesn't get really much harder. You know, obviously, two absolute legends of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was times where I'm thinking, oh, should get a chance now, you know, when am I getting a chance? But I just tried to keep doing everything right and training every day and, you know, trying to impress, you know, whoever the manager was at the time, and you know, just try to do my best, and also knowing if the chance does come, I've got to be ready. So I can't be in a mindset of, oh, this is shit and this and that. Just got to get on with things and be ready, you know. I've got a contract here, they're paying me here, got to do everything I can to help the team in that situation and make sure I'm ready for when I get the chance. And obviously eventually it came and I took it, and then it all happened really quick, obviously, with Austria and the Euros and promotion. It was quite nice.
That leads on nicely to obviously representing Austria and stuff. Obviously you've come right the way through from the under 16s and that, and to now obviously you've qualified for the Euros. Like, it's obviously with Austria, it's been like I said, a long time. You've been through all the age groups, and then to now achieve what you're going on to achieve must be a really exciting time.
Yeah, it's obviously it took a while. You know, I made my Austria debut with 27. So obviously we got promoted. I got the number one shirt in January the season we last got promoted. Obviously played all the way to the end of the season, got to the Premier League, got my first call up to the national team. Well, my second call up. I called up before once a couple of years ago. Got my call up again right before the Euros. So the squad for the Euros was not my first call-up, but the first one in years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I must have a chance here to play. I've never played.
Yeah.
But I've just got promoted. Obviously, I'm playing really well. I'm going to be playing in the Premier League. So I'm going into that camp thinking, obviously, I already know by then I'm going to the Euros, but then you want to play.
You want to play, yeah.
You want to play. So we're going to the Euros, and the first friendly game, preparation game, was in England against England. Obviously we flew to Middlesbrough, and then the night before the game we have dinner, and then the manager said he wants to speak to the goalies, obviously, to tell us who's going to play one by one. And it was me to go in last. And, you know, you start thinking, it's like, is it better if I go first, if I get called in first, if I called in second, if I get called in last?
If I'm last, is it because I'm going to have an argument? Or?
Well, exactly. What's he going to be? Yeah. So I'm sitting, I'm waiting, like I'm twiddling my thumbs and I'm going, oh, what's going to happen here now? Because obviously I want to play him. And calls me in, obviously tells me I play against England. So made my debut for Austria in England against England, which is quite nice with my story as well. Did well. And then 4 days later, we had the last game before the Euros on a Sunday afternoon against Slovakia in Vienna. And obviously, who played that game was going to play
in the
Euros.
Play, yeah.
So
it's the last game of pre-season.
Exactly.
Theory,
so Saturday night, you know, obviously in training, he couldn't tell anything. You know, Saturday last training, he couldn't tell anything of who's going to play. He's kept it really quiet, which I'm not the biggest fan about because I think people should know whether they play or not by the last training.
It helps your mindset.
Especially as goalkeepers. Yeah. And anyway, so it's 10 o'clock at night. We're playing poker. Some of the lads just playing cards in the players' lounge. And the goalie coach rings me and he's like, oh, where are you? I said, oh, I'm just in the players' lounge. And he's like, oh, can you come see me in the lobby? So I'm like, all right, here we go. This is it. So going down and I sit down and the first thing he said to me, he looked at me and went, what do you want to hear? And then I knew that I was going to play because he wasn't going to say to me, what do you want to hear?
I go,
well, obviously that I'm playing. And he's going, nah, you're not. That's not going to happen. So I knew straight away. And he was like, well, obviously that I'm going to play tomorrow. And he went like, yeah, you're playing tomorrow. And also you're going to be number one for the Euros. And I was like, I still get goosebumps talking about it now.
Amazing.
Because gone from 6 months earlier, I didn't even play in the championship. And all of a sudden I've made my debut for Austria. I'm going to play in a European championship. And I know the Premier League's coming within the next 2 months. So yeah, it was an amazing year of my career for sure.
Yeah, not obviously representing your country at any level, but to achieve what you've done, like you said, from almost being out of the game to then working your way back into to where you got to it, and accumulating a promotion and your debut and playing at Euros, just an unbelievable achievement.
It was a bit unfortunate that it was during not COVID times, but there was still restrictions with the crowds, but it was an amazing experience for sure.
What's your hopes now with Austria going forward?
Obviously, I mean, since the manager change, I've been in and out of the squad with Ralf Rangnick, obviously, as the manager now. So it's a difficult one. Listen, all I can do is play. I've done it last time because I didn't play one single qualifying game the last time we went to the Euros and ended up being number one in the Euros. Yes. So I know how football works. That doesn't say anything. So I know my chance is still there. I want to play at the Euros next year. And all I can do is play well for Watford, perform well for Watford as an individual, but also as a team, you know, because if we don't have a good season, it'll be tough.
Of course, yeah.
To get the call up. If we get promoted, for sure, I think I've got a really good chance. But of course, I want to go to the Euros. That's the target, you know, away from Watford this year to go to the Euros and ultimately play. And then I think Austria have got... I do think we've got a good chance, you know. We're certainly not one of the favourites, but you could call us one of the black horses, I'd say, because we will have...
Yeah, the underdogs.
The underdogs, for sure, because, you know, the way we play, you know, it's good. And we played Germany last night and beat them 2-0 and could have been a lot more than 2. Yeah. We've certainly got a chance if we do everything right, and yeah, for sure.
Well, fingers crossed then. Right, I want to crack on with a quiz now. I was briefing Daniel before about the quiz. Goalie or no goalie. So it's 1 point for each correct answer. I've got 10 names, 5 are international goalkeepers and 5 are made up names from around the world. Normally, I'll give you a little clue here, but I'll go through like your social media, find out who you're following, and then like find out what you like and put the names together. Okay. So you might have heard of the names and you think, oh, I've heard that in the goalie world or not.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so like...
Go on, that's quite a good
idea.
The
audience can head along to YouTube and find out our leaderboard. Right, so... 10.
Go on.
I get my scoreboard out.
You're doing name by name. So you say name
I'll
and I say...
I'll do one, yeah. Okay, and you'll say goalie or no goalie. All right, here we go. Right, so number one, Shahrudin Mohammed Daliyev.
I'm saying that's the Azerbaijan goalie.
He is the Azerbaijan goalkeeper. Yeah. That's nice, because you played against Austria to qualify. Nice, easy one for me to start. Not easy for me to say.
Well, yeah, it's not easy. Not an easy name. There we go.
Number two, Krishnan Guru Murphy.
I'm going to say no.
No goalie?
No.
That is correct. He is the Channel 4 news presenter.
Oh, yeah, I know him. I wouldn't have known the name.
No, exactly. Yeah, so like you'd have heard the name before. This is the whole point. It's a bit tricky. Right, number three, Anis Ferchichi.
I know the name. It's an Albanian name, so the question is whether he plays for Albania. I'm going to say he's a goalie for Albania.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is better known as German rapper
Bushido. Oh my God, how do I know? Oh my God, I am so embarrassed. I grew up listening to...
Yeah,
oh well, my
you follow him.
God.
As soon as I've seen that you followed him, I was like, Bushido. I bet he doesn't know his actual name.
Oh no, but I will have...
You would have heard of it,
oh
but
you... Oh my God. All right, go on, next one.
Love that.
Good one, that, yeah.
You're devastated.
Yeah, I am.
Right, number four, Armen Darmen.
God's sake. Oh, God, I said before to you as well off camera, I think I'm going to be good at this.
You said to me, you was confident as well.
So we've had one goalie so far, haven't we, and five are goalies. Is that right?
I'm on the fourth one.
But in total, there's five goalies in those 10 names. Correct, and we've had one so far with them.
Intelligent person here, Daniel. Trying to work out the statistics of what I'd go for. Armen Darmen.
I'm going to say, yeah. Yes, a goalie.
No. Goalie?
Yeah.
He is a goalkeeper, mate. He is Tunisia and Al Hazm.
Yeah. That was a pure guess.
Pure guess.
Pure guess, so. Could not really take any credit for that. Nah. It's a pure guess.
Name could throw you off as well. Yeah. Right, number five, Amaury Gouchien. That could be my pronunciation. Amaury Gouchien. Let's go for that.
I was trying to think if you could maybe say it any different than to what I would listen to.
I'd love to show you what it is, but I can't because it's got the answer next to it. Amaury Gouchien.
I'm going to say no goalie.
He's not a goalkeeper. He's a world-famous pastry and chocolate chef.
Wow.
Just thought that name could have been a goalie. Sounds like a proper... Can you pronounce that name? You can speak a few
Amaury
languages.
Amaury Gouchien, I would have said.
Yeah?
Amaury Gouchien, yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all.
All right, you're on four. Four, yeah. It's not too bad. Five, you're fine, mate.
So how many goalies have you had so far? Two.
Yeah, I like the way you're working it out. Right, number six, Damjan Siskovsky. Yeah.
I'm going to say goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He is North Macedonia and Doxa.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper. Heard of him before?
Yeah, because we played against North Macedonia, but number one is Dolis Dimitrievski is the number one.
And he was on the bench. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So some of the games, I'd go back in your history and see if you've been in squads. And to try and make it, because then I don't ever know if you would know them personally, but I know that you'd have heard the name. So,
I've got three goalies now out of six. Okay, fine.
Number seven, Ronwen Williams.
I'm going to say no goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. Oh. The South Africa goalkeeper.
Okay, yeah, never heard of him.
Nah, I think the name's throwing you off because it sounds like Robbie Williams.
He looks very young, I think.
He does look very young.
He doesn't look like 31.
No. Yeah, he played in their last game.
Okay.
Fact check Fair me play. On that. Right, did I just give you a point for that, by the way?
Was I on five before?
You're on...
I was on five before
that.
You
were on five before, yeah.
I got it wrong.
You got it wrong, so you're still on five. Yeah. Five out of seven. Right.
Number, we've had four goalies.
Number eight. David Frey.
Is it spelled F-R-E-U?
F-R-O-Y.
Oh, so it's actually Frey.
Not Frey. Not Sebastian Frey.
Yeah. I'm going to say no goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He and a guy called James McCardy, they invented the dimples on a golf ball.
Oh, wow.
I know you're a keen golfer, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I'm not great, but
I
love it. Yeah.
You follow a lot of golfers.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
You follow all the tours. Yeah, I love it. I'll chuck a golf one in there, a random one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they invented the dimples on a golf ball. It's weird that, but it makes it more aerodynamic.
Must have been a long time ago as well.
Right. Number nine, Cameron Carter-Vickers.
He's a centre-back, isn't he?
Cameron Carter-Vickers.
All right. I'm going to say no, because I think he's a centre-back for Celtic.
He is a goalkeeper. No, that is a centre-back. What have I done there? Have I picked the wrong person? Yeah. Oh, no. That is not a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've chucked the wrong person in there. Ha! Right, I'm going to...
Yeah, I was thinking he's centre-back, yeah.
Yeah.
For Celtic. He was at Spurs.
He was, yep. Right. And last one. El Mehdi Benadibib. Benabid.
Well, he's got to be a goalie because you're missing
one
goalie.
Yeah, right, yeah. You've chucked me
in there.
I've
done the maths.
Lovely you.
It's not bad.
Eight out of ten. You've got to be chuffed with that.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good going.
There was a few guesses in there, obviously. But,
yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'm happy with that. Yeah.
You said you'd do well, mate. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough, but yeah, obviously
there's one that you're really, really not happy with.
Yeah. Should have got 9 really, because yeah. I grew up listening to his music, honestly. Really, yeah. I still listen to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, obviously you won't like it because you don't understand what he's saying, but he's good, yeah. He's like the first, probably the biggest German rapper in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Right. So when I was going through your Instagram, like who you really follow, good. I was like, oh, I bet you there's one in there that I can pick. Really well played. 8 out of 10, mate. You got to be chuffed at that. Yeah, that's
nice.
Good scoring.
Really
that.
Nice.
Right, let's go and do a little bit of geeky goalkeeper stuff then, right? Let's go straight into the goalie gloves first.
Yeah.
What gloves do you wear?
I wear Pumice. Yeah. The ultra model, if you want to go off the shape, the look of it. But I've got, like, it's not a special cut for Puma, it is because they don't sell the roll fingers. They don't sell that, so they make that with the ultra look.
Yep. Oh, so Puma don't actually sell roll fingers?
They don't, no. So they sell, you know, the really, really tight ones.
Yes.
The really tight ones, almost like gardening gloves.
Yep.
And then they sell like a hybrid model, which is a mix between...
Yeah, flat palm and roll finger.
Yeah, flat palm, roll finger, negative cart, like the inside stitch. It's a bit of everything, but no real roll finger. So, yeah, they make that for me, and it's, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. Obviously, you say that they custom make that for you, but they make it look like the current models and stuff like that. Did they actually measure your hands? You know, like, did you have anything professional that it was like, or did you just go off previous gloves, what you know and like?
No, I just tried a few sizes. So I went off the previous sizes and also tried the different models from Puma.
Yep.
And then just said, make me 9.5 I wear, I think. I don't think if there's, no, there's no size in there, I think. I think it's 9.5. That's the size that I wear, but it's quite strange. Like one of the lads, for example, one of the younger lads wears Reusch, and he's got I tried one of his pairs in the change room. It's 10.5, size 10.5. And I can barely get my hands in it.
It's crazy the difference.
It's just like, it's mind-boggling how that works. You know, the difference is that big. But I wear 9.5s, but I never had any like proper measurement. I just go off
just
what I used to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
These are, roll fingers are naturally quite a thick latex anyway. Is that something that you do prefer?
Yeah, I just like to have a lot of surface to work with it. That makes sense.
I 100% agree. I wear gloves that are too big for me. I like.
Oh, really?
I wear size 11 gloves. I'm probably a 10, 10.5. I like having a bigger glove.
Yeah.
I think it's more, I like the perception that when I catch something, everyone goes,
you've
got
the ball.
Stuck.
Yeah, and you've got the ball covered, and it just looks better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I don't wear my gloves big, and 9.5 is obviously not that big, but the roll finger in general just looks a bigger glove anyway because they're so thick, like you say, and obviously quite wide as well.
You're quite traditional with your gloves, really, aren't
you?
Yeah,
they are.
Typical strap, no strapless gloves.
No, I don't like all that.
Yeah.
It's too much for me, and I really don't like that skinny style like Adidas do now. And Adidas aren't too bad. But obviously I've tried the Puma one as well, and for me personally I really struggle with it. You know, the like proper tight, and you just use your fingers basically with a bit of latex on it. It's not for me at all.
Yeah, you're a bit more old school. I love all that. I was gonna say about your gloves, do you remember your first ever pair of gloves in comparison?
I remember one pair that I bought in 2006. I don't really remember. Actually, I don't know if that was before. I remember I used to have Lotto.
Yeah.
Like Peter Cech used to wear. I had these. And then I had the Puma ones, the white and gold in 2006 from the World Cup
that I was wearing. Yeah.
I remember having these. I had some Cells. I remember having some Cells.
So you have been a traditional, like, old school.
Yeah, and player, then I was for a long time, you'll know Keeper Sport, I guess.
Yes.
Obviously, they're Austrian. Yes. The guys who founded it, they literally from where I'm from, same area.
Yeah.
So from literally when I moved to Stoke, even before when I was already in Austria, the last couple of years there until the Euros, I wore Keeper Sport my whole career. And then, obviously Puma came up, and with the Euros as well, obviously playing for Austria, sponsored by Puma. And obviously I had to make a decision, and it was just a decision. I thought I had to make it. I felt a bit bad because I've been with them for so long, and obviously they've done a lot for me, and obviously I've given them good publicity as well, but I did feel a bit bad that just before the Euros I swapped to Puma. And the thing is, it had nothing to do financially or anything at all. But I just thought to have the connection with such a brand.
Yes, no, 100%.
It might help me going forward. That's why I went with Puma.
Obviously, with wearing a brand like Puma, you get the boots as well, and you do the color coordinated matching stuff.
Exactly,
do you find that you like stuff like that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I love it.
I do. Some colours that come out, I do like some colours, obviously, like less. I love that colour right now. I think that colour now is, I think, with the boots together, it looks great.
Yeah,
my favourite one since I've been with Puma was probably the first ones I had during the Euros. They were like pretty much all white with a little bit of colour sprinkle in it. I don't know if you remember them. But
yeah, I do, yeah.
They were great as well. But yeah, I love the matching.
Yeah.
You know, the matching boots and gloves.
Yeah. How often do you change a pair of gloves?
Normally, where I'd say between 2 and 5 games, depending on
conditions.
How they are. But obviously, I feel like the older the gloves get, the grippier they get. Oh, now, because with the new balls, obviously, like I said before as well, with the new balls, it's so difficult. Yeah. They're literally, balls these days are made for goals.
Yeah, 100%.
They're made to make it as difficult as possible for us goalkeepers, you know, whether it's the swerving of the ball, the grip. They're just made for strikers. That's obviously because, you know, that's what makes the game, the goals, exactly. That's what makes the entertainment. So it becomes more difficult for us, obviously. Really slippy, and the newer the balls as well. And most games you play with brand new balls, which is horrible. Oh my God, I don't need to tell you. It's just horrible.
But we can talk about it. So in a warm-up, you're warm-up with the training balls, the old balls that have already got the plastic coating removed.
Yeah.
And then on a match day, you turn up and you've got your gloves ready for the old balls, really. You'll do the warm-up. Your gloves feel fantastic. Yeah. And then as soon as you touch the ball for that first, you're like, oh my God, what's happened there? Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like someone's rubbed Vaseline on it. I know that you can do the Vaseline trick as well, but like I agree with you that the depending on the conditions, if it's a sunny day, the pitch is dry and the balls are new, a new pair of gloves works brilliantly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the wetter it gets and the older your gloves are, your older gloves respond better in wet conditions.
Yeah, just because of obviously all the chemicals they're on, they just disappear.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's, so these, I've worn these, I think, for 4 games.
Yep.
Yeah, four games. And I always wear the same pair in the warm-up as well, because I know obviously a lot of goalies, you know, I knew some goalies that...
will change.
They wear a different pair in the warm-up. I think Asmir, if I remember correctly, he probably told you about from what I remember, he always got a brand new pair out. If I'm not wrong, I feel like he always got a brand new pair out for the warm-up and bought him in the warm-up and straight in the game. I feel like he did that. Maybe I'm wrong,
but if I remember. That was his way of breaking them in. Do you break them in? Like if you had a new pair, would you train fully in them on Friday?
So this week, obviously, I'll wear a new pair and then I'll wear them in training on Friday.
Yep.
And then obviously in the warm-up on Saturday and then in the game.
Will you wash them and stuff before or not?
It depends. It really depends, because I quite like a little bit of dirt on it. Obviously, if they turn quite dark from the mud and weather, then I'll give them a wash course, but... and they've been through the washing machine.
It's just
I don't mind a bit of dirt on it, because it, like we said, it gets rid of the chemicals and, you know, the mud in there. It does help, I think. I do wash them, obviously, if they're really, really dirty.
I know we were saying before about like, wearing matching boots, and like, if you look the part, you play the part. But see, sometimes when you see a goalie go out in bright new boots, bright new gloves, you're like, he ain't ready to get dirty today. It's also a mindset thing, and it's a perception thing, but it means nothing really, but it's just whatever you're comfortable with.
Exactly. That's all that matters. Whatever works for you, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what other people say, because in football, especially the higher you get, people, especially the fans, talk anyway about, you know, your appearance, whatever it is, that's just part of the game. So it doesn't really matter. So you just do what feels comfortable, you know, what you're happy with, and you know what you feel comfortable yourself is the most important.
Do you have any superstitions?
Not really.
No,
I'm not superstitious at all. You know, I'm quite relaxed before a game. I don't do anything where I say, right, I do this before a game, I do this before a game. Not really, no.
Not even in pre-match and stuff, like the way you prepare for a game. Are you on a Friday night, do you have to eat a certain meal, or on a Saturday?
No, don't really have to. No, I've recently changed my pre-match meal a couple of weeks ago. But then obviously now I'll regularly eat, you know, I'll always eat the same now.
Yep.
Just because I know that works for me.
Yeah.
Just
what is that meal?
Well, now I've changed to pasta with pesto and a bit of chicken in it.
Yeah.
Before I used to have that chicken breast with some mashed potato, rice, some carrots and a little
mashed
bit.
Mashed potato and rice?
Yeah.
Sounds mental.
I need a lot of food before
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. God. I don't like to eat a lot before a game.
I need a lot of food. Yeah. Food's almost more important than water for me before a game.
Yeah.
Because I get quite, you know, my sugar levels drop really quickly, so I need to make sure I'm stocked up.
Yeah, and I'm a caffeine drinker before a game. Caffeine gum and caffeine.
Yeah, I have the shot before the warm up. Caffeine shot. Yeah, that helps as
And then all I wanted to talk about a bit more was about training and that, and the structure of a week. And obviously, you've been a number two a lot and worked your way through. Do you love training now to just be about the number one goalkeeper? Or I would probably say that you're probably more considerate than most because you've experienced it for a lot of your career.
Yeah. I mean, me and Ben, obviously, we've got a great relationship. We're really close off the pitch as well. So it's obviously, it's really easy.
Which is not close with him, isn't it?
Yeah, what a guy. Yeah, what a guy. But it's not usual, is it? You know, it's I'd say it's very uncommon or very unusual for number one and number two goalkeeper to have a really close relationship, certainly off the field. But for me, even if it wasn't Ben, I'd want everyone to enjoy training. You know, I don't want it to be about me.
Yeah.
I want training to be enjoyable, you know, because we're footballers, we're lucky enough to get to play football every day. So I want it to be enjoyable for everyone. If you'll
get the most out of it, if he gets the most out of it, everyone benefits.
And I think what I love as well is, so what I used to love when I was a number two, just the competitiveness as well, you know. I want, obviously he's making a save, I'm thinking, right, I'm not conceding here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really enjoyed it. Even now, like when Ben's in goal and he's having a great set, I'm thinking, oh, I can't concede here. Yeah. I'm not conceding a goal here now because he didn't. So I can't. Or even when it's one of the young lads, I'm thinking, right, young lad didn't concede one. I'm not conceding one. Yeah. Do you know
put
what I mean?
Pressure on yourself to make
yourself
better.
But that's good though. Yeah, 100%. I love that so much about like just the training mentality every day. And
we played goalie wars in training yesterday. Yeah. And me at 37, I'm still beating the young pups and I'm letting them know that like they haven't beat me.
Yeah.
And like, obviously they're a lot fitter, a lot more agile and should make more saves. But mentally, I know that I've got that edge. So I'll make sure that they know that as well. And like, obviously, kicking a ball for the last 20 years of my life, I strike it well. I was straight away in the head, I was like, I'm not losing this. That determination don't ever leave
That never goes away. There's obviously you're obviously how old are you exactly?
37.
37, obviously. So you're quite a few years older than me. And you know, you're probably towards the back end of your career, but that never goes away, does it?
No,
that,
never.
That feeling of just wanting to be the best, it doesn't matter, you know. You might think, you know, there's a young kid now, might give him a chance. That's not how it works. Yeah. You want to play as long as you can play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
I mean, I'm not at that stage yet, but I know how I feel. And I'm with the young lad and I'm thinking sometimes, you know, he can play a game and training, but I want to play. And that's how we are as athletes, not just footballers, but athletes in general. It's so, as long as we're doing what we're doing, we want to be the best.
Yep.
Every single day. And that's...
I think that, obviously outfielders, they're different than us, but we're so much more driven personally because it's only us. It's us against the team, basically. Yeah. So only us will look after us.
Yeah.
And so, but an outfielder, that sometimes that they can miss a session in training or, but goalies, we hate missing training sessions. Mm-hmm. Like we could have, be carrying injuries. We're like, we can do something. Yeah. Like I've got a bruised hip today. Yeah. I can't dive left. Exactly I'm still that. Coming out to train.
Exactly that.
And you still throw yourself around like a madman. You're like, I should really come off it a bit.
But it's strange because, like I said, I was just thinking while you were talking then, and he's exactly right. You know, we say we've got a bad elbow, right? We'll go out and do some distribution.
Yeah.
But a lot of outfield players, they sometimes just say, oh, I'll stay inside today.
Yeah.
I hate staying inside.
Yeah.
It's a goalie thing, isn't it?
It's a goalie thing.
Everyone's the same.
That's our mentality. It's like we'll strap our fingers up if we're hurt. We don't like to show that we're hurt, but we also like to show that if we are hurt, we'll get through
it. We'll get through it, yeah.
And that's just a mentality aspect from...
That's why we're special. Not weird or strange, we're just special.
Right, I've got one final question for you, Daniel, And I finish on this every week, but what does the goalkeepers' union mean to you? It's a deep question, by the way. You can say it can be light. Yeah, it's a
good... Let me think about it. What does the goalkeepers' union mean to me? I think... It gets taken the piss out of a lot of time by the outfield players, that's for sure.
The old banjo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just little things when we're sitting in the canteen in the mornings and, you know, highlights are on in the game. And, you know, like some of the lads are going, oh, fucking hell, he's got to save that. Like any goal on Sky Sports News. And I'm looking at him going, you what? Like, come on, Dan, he's got to save that. I'm like, oh, just shut up. you know what I mean? Like these little things, like they wind us up.
Other,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we look after each other and... As much as we are obviously in a strange position that only one can play and there's normally three of us and there's a lot of competition obviously and it's different, but we still all stick together in a way, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? You'd always defend him. Like I'd always, you know, if you know, Ben plays and I'd always defend him, you know, regardless of how angry I am that I'm not playing. Yeah. But I'd always defend him, with whether it's teammates or on the outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I've learned a lot throughout my career and I probably wouldn't have been always like this
yes.
when I was younger. It's different then. But, you know, now, at the stage now, you know, if Ben was to play now for whatever reason, the gaffer said, listen, I'm going with Ben this weekend or for now, of course I'd be pissed off.
Yep.
But I'll be supportive with him and on the outside as well, just because that's how I want him to be.
Yep.
So that's exactly how I'm going to be. So yep. I think the G. Keonan is very underrated to how, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's underrated to how important it is to us. 100%. Important it is to us as goalkeepers.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, we're on it. That's I always say that we're like a little brotherhood. We're a community where we'll push each other and we'll fight each other, but we'll absolutely love each other and always have each other's back. And it don't matter if you're you always see after a game, the first person that you want to say something to is the other goalkeeper.
Yes, exactly.
Like the first person's hand that you actually want to shake is and you want to give them a compliment or you want to, if they've made a mistake, you want to give them reassurance. Yeah. And you don't even know these people.
That's right. Yeah.
But the first person that you walk over to and you're like, by the way, what about that save? Oh, that cross that you came for in the last minute takes a bit of bollocks.
I remember there was a game a few weeks ago we played West Brom and Alex Palmer, I think it's Alex Palmer. He made an unbelievable save. Obviously, a bit of luck within involved as well, but from where I was standing, it looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I found myself standing on a pitch, I literally went like this. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, well, maybe shouldn't do that because it just cost us not scoring. But, you know, sometimes that's just how we react to it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's... I was going to say something when you... but never mind. It's just a big part of our lives, isn't it? It's just who we are.
It's who we are. Mate, I've loved this episode. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks
Daniel Backman, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely class. What an episode that was. This has been the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. I want to say a quick thank you to Mystery Football, Mito Red Light Therapy, and also Forged Irish Stout for helping being part of the show and sponsoring us. They really do help us grow. Make sure you're following us on YouTube or across any of your podcast platforms. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
What a save from Mark Howard.